Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 10 of E4 2019. We are on episode 10, my friend.
It's still going!
It's still going. And we're now sitting in the same room together.
Yes!
You're right here.
Yeah!
I could kick you.
You could.
I'm not going to.
No.
Yet. We'll see how it goes.
If that changes. Before we get into... thank you. That was really annoying me. Before we get into gaming stuff, I have to mention the fact that we've been doing Patreon content. We're going to do more later. But it is Father's Day in the United States. And you, for a reason that I do not understand,
yes,
are away from your daughter and with me on Father's Day.
Yeah, that seems a little silly, doesn't it?
Now, we should be clear that you spend, you know, 4 days a week with your kid all day.
I do.
So I don't feel so guilty. However, you were kind enough to fire up the FaceTime, and we just watched her carry us around your in-law's house.
Yes.
And I gotta be honest, dude. We're in the wrong place.
We are in the wrong place.
Like, I'm really seriously debating the fact getting in the car and just going.
Making a trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's fair.
Because we're in the wrong place.
We're in the wrong place.
I have a 15, almost 16-year-old niece in the other room who I love. And now I have a little one who... it's going to be really, really... really, really hard.
Yeah.
Not to play favorites.
Yes.
Like, she's just absolutely freaking adorable.
She is. She says happy day. You got to hear her say happy day.
Yes!
Which is the best thing ever. We have no idea why she started saying happy day, but she says happy day, and it is, yeah, the most freaking adorable thing you'll ever see here in your life. And
yeah.
So you got a good happy day in there on the FaceTime.
I wish we had that, because I would have thrown that in the show.
That's some good production.
That is like the ultimate thing. And we've said this before. That's your kid. And I don't know how I got so lucky, but Father's Day just went from meh to... okay, really good day.
Yeah. Happy day.
Yeah.
Happy day. All that being said, we are going to talk about video games, but she will likely come up again and again because she's that awesome.
Yeah. So. She's going to be on this show.
Yeah. It's soon.
When that happens, I don't know. Like, we'll probably have to do it while her mother's out of the house.
Yes.
And not really paying attention. That's the only way that's really going to happen, I'm thinking.
She does love the microphone. Like, she just grabs a hold of the microphone and goes. And so she's at the point now where she's talking, and she loves the microphone. So it shouldn't be a problem getting her on.
Well, good.
It's ready. So.
Our favorite mascot. As if we needed more reasons to take your money. You need to give us money so we can buy gear. So we can clothe her, because I want to do that. I want like a little hoodie that's just her size.
Yes.
With our logo and crap all over it.
That would be great.
Yeah.
So, all that being said, we're doing something a little bit different with this show. This episode is going to be the Sony episode. Even though Sony wasn't at E3 this year, Sony was at E3 this year. Like, let's be clear. They may not have, as a company, decided to show up, but Sony was there. Sony was a presence there, and there was a ton of other Sony-related stuff that's happened before E3, happening during E3 with their Days of Play thing. And so, yeah, we're going to get into all the Sony stuff here that we didn't get from E3. So Let's start with stuff we've already talked about, so we can mention just really briefly. Sony's been really upfront about their next-gen console, talking about it in the past few months. We've talked about that on the show, so we don't need to rehash all that here. But we know it's going to be upgraded. We know it's going to be ray tracing. We know it's going to be solid-state drive. We know it's going to that they're working on some streaming technology, whatever. We know that is basically the same thing that Microsoft is doing with Project Scarlet. Like, right. Those two consoles are going side by side. Microsoft showed up at E3 to talk about theirs. Sony didn't, but we still know. Like, we have all that information out there. And so we know that the console wars are going to be continue to be essentially the console wars as we've known them. So Sony didn't need to show up to tell us that.
And they didn't. And I don't know that it necessarily hurt them because they didn't. Because we talked about the fact that the Microsoft show was good, but compared to other stuff that we saw, it was just sort of okay. Because we thought it was really great when we saw it. And then we saw Nintendo and we saw some other stuff. And Microsoft basically did what they had to do. And Sony didn't need to do that.
Yeah, I think that's the key. I think you hit the nail on the head right there. Is that so? Microsoft showed up and did good. Like
had to, because they haven't for the last 5 years.
Yeah, it would have felt bad. It would not have been encouraging if Microsoft had taken the Sony route and not shown up and had just kind of been out there. But you're absolutely right. Sony didn't have to do that. And Sony kind of killed it last year, and we talked about all the software. And so, like, it doesn't. Feel, even though it's missing, and even though it would have been bigger, E3 would have been bigger with Sony there, it doesn't feel like that's a negative for Sony in the grand scheme of things. In fact, Phil Spencer, this story's percolated out there several times over the past few days, Phil Spencer has said, hey, we kind of need Sony at E3. Like, E3's not as good without Sony here. And he's absolutely right. That's the Microsoft guy saying we need Sony in the building to make E3 the real thing. He understands that competition is valuable.
He does, but also I think there's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there in that, you know, those guys, it's about the competition, but also I think it's about looking like you don't hate each other.
Sure.
Because we've got what we've got, and nobody likes it at this point. You and I don't talk about it a lot because we ignore most of it on this show. We've got a lot of idiot gamers with way too much time on their hands, and they need to go get jobs and do some various other adulting things that just pollute the internet. And I think people who are of the age that we are, the guys that do this for a living, the journalists that write about it, I think everybody's tired of it. And unless you're 12 and you're sitting at home playing Fortnite, it's not entertaining. And it's even less entertaining when you realize this is a bunch of 25, 30-year-old guys that have played games all their lives and they're just on the internet talking crap. I don't think anybody in the industry wants that. I think everybody knows there's synergy. And so when Phil comes out and says that, it's more about trying to make the point that, hey, we're together as an industry. Whatever you play, you need to be cool about it because they're putting out good stuff just like we are.
Yeah, I think that's a 100% fair. And I think Microsoft particularly has done a great job of trying to be the bridge in the kind of gaming world of like, hey, let's all get along kind of thing. We saw that with Nintendo, with the Banjo-Kazooie thing, and how excited right. both sides felt about that. Sony, honestly, is the one of the major three of the way we look at it, at least right now. Amazon and Google are going to be part of this conversation. Apple before very long as well. But as the kind of Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo trifecta, Sony's the one that's kind of the snob right now, right? Like, that's kind of the, like, we're too cool for you guys. Like, we don't want crossplay. We don't want, and like, Microsoft's like, hey, let's do everything. And there's a reason for that. Sony sold twice as many PlayStation 4s as Microsoft has sold right. Xbox Ones. Like, they're in that position. But I love that Microsoft is the company that's trying to say, hey, there's places where we can work together that will provide a better gaming experience for the community as a whole.
Make no mistake. If it were turned around and it were Microsoft, Microsoft would be doing the same thing.
I would imagine.
But when you are as far behind as they are, and you need all of the bonus points, shall we say, you can get, you kind of have to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about the new consoles that we're going to talk a lot about in the next couple of days, because we've got more content for you guys, and I'm sure Scarlett's going to come up, and we're going to talk more about the PlayStation 5, especially in the next 6 months. All of this is about to reset, and we're going to have to do it all again.
Yep.
When Scarlett comes out and the PS5 comes out, everybody's going to be back to zero. So it's going to be like it always is, which is basically who screws up first.
Yeah.
And right now, Microsoft's okay. Like, we've already lost. We just need to look as good as we can look. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with that. At the same time, I don't mind giving them credit for that either. And it would be the same if it was the reverse. And it was to a certain extent with the 360 and the PlayStation 3, that the 360 blew the PlayStation 3 away, although the PlayStation 3 caught up a little bit more than the Xbox One has at this point. But still, like, there was some eating of crow and coming back around for Sony that we were pretty hard on them, and then they kind of got back into the good graces. Like, there's this ebb and flow to this thing. So I'm fine giving credit where credit is due, when even if they're, you know, cynical in the reasons or whatever that surround it. So, but continuing on Sony, so let's do one more thing pre-E3, and then we'll get into E3 stuff with Sony, because I think there's some interesting points to make there. One more pre-E3 thing that Sony did, and I was surprised they didn't do more, but they released a long Death Stranding gameplay teaser with a release date, which is November something for Death Stranding. So Death Stranding's coming this year. Eight sounds right.
Yeah.
So we got to see more of it. Still have no clue what's going on with that thing.
Okay. One of our guys on Facebook, and I don't remember which one. Can you pull that up real quick?
I'll look.
Two quotes said, "I'm not into this at all." And the second comment was, "But I'm not into Metal Gear either." And I want to be clear to everybody that's listening, Death Stranding has nothing to do whatsoever with Metal Gear. Like, this is the first Kojima game that I've seen in a while that you and I are going to play. But I feel like we could legitimately hate it.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. It's definitely not Metal Gear. Like,
no.
No.
Like, the idea of, well, I'm not into Metal Gear games, so yeah, whatever, y'all have fun with that. Nah, this is a completely different deal.
Like, to be fair, Metal Gear is weird and screwed up. This is more weird and more screwed up. Like, this is a whole different level than kind of the weird stuff that that Metal Gear does. Yeah, I could easily see playing like an hour or two of this and going, no. this is not my thing. And this is getting a little crazy now. I don't know that that's not what Kojima kind of wants from this. I feel like this is like Kojima just saying, how nuts can I be and the industry still think I'm a genius? You know, like, how much can I just push this to the, like, Norman Reedus with a baby in a backpack? And people are like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. You know, like, at some point, like, Kojima's just sitting there, like, chuckling at us all, right? Like, people wanting this thing. But I kind of, like, I want to play it.
Yeah.
I might hate it. It also might be, like, this brilliant game that I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is Kojima setting the bar to a whole nother level.
Well, I'll tell you, and I wasn't sure if I was going to share this because it's kind of way out there. But the whole idea of this game is they're trying to put some cohesion of a country back together. And we've got these beings from the quote-unquote other side that are causing issues. And I got to thinking, I've seen this trailer 3 times. And I watched it last week and texted you and I said, I just saw Death Stranding again and that crap's weird. But I got to thinking, what if it's not so much the other side, but an alternate version of that reality? Like if you start talking about alternate realities.
Yeah.
And there's a different version of you and a different version of me out there, and we're slightly different, and, you know, there are different versions of the Earth. That's kind of what I see with this. And what you're saying about Kojima, how weird can I be? I have often wondered, okay, we've been doing this almost 14 years. And I've been sitting here for most of that 14 years trying to figure out what we have to do to be popular and to make money. Because I think there's some people in the world, and Kojima has been one of those, that they have a hit or a series of hits. And then they can just kind of do whatever they want to.
Sure.
And people just sort of hand them money. And I think you're on to something there. I think he may be to that point. Like, okay, I don't have Konami anymore. I'm not involved with that. Sony just jacked up my Metal Gear by releasing Survive. I have no idea what that is. And so I'm just going to make the weirdest thing I can make and have somebody pay me for it. And they did.
Yeah, and it may just be like this is the thing that he's had percolating in his head for 20 years or whatever, you know?
Right.
Like this story, this narrative, whatever. Like, he's a weird dude. And so
and back to my point, it's not like he really had to work at it. Like, it's not like he really had to really walk in and sell this. I think he says, I have an idea, and somebody goes, okay, yeah, here's money.
Yeah.
Go.
Absolutely.
And that's been my thing with us for the last 13 years is how do we get to that point? But that's the way the world works at this point. I think that's a lot of what this game is banking on.
Yeah, absolutely. And Sony would be dumb not to give him money to go for it. Because he's got a fan base, and he's going to do something that gets attention.
And
this game could totally flop at this point, and it's still going to get tons of attention for Sony.
Whether it flops or not, he's going to sell 2 million units because people just want to see what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's a curiosity. By the way, it was Stuart over at the Facebook page that mentioned he doesn't care for Metal Gear games. And that this looks too far out. So just as an aside, welcome to the Facebook page, Stuart.
I think
that might be the first contribution that Stuart's made over there. And so he's a newer member, so glad to have you.
Very cool, very cool.
Also, Sam said he's interested because it looks so bizarre and is glad that people are taking chances on AAA games. I think that's fair. I'm glad it exists. Like, even if I hate the game, I'm glad it exists. Also worth noting is after E3 with Keanu, like, this is a game that we've known about for a while that stars Norman Reedus as a very obvious Norman Reedus. Like, there's no question who that dude is. His voice, his face, like, he's very, very noticeable. Same with Keanu Reeves. Like, that's again, this is a new era of gaming that hasn't existed in the past.
What? It goes back to what I was just saying. Norman Reedus and Keanu Reeves are both getting paid for whatever they do at this point, whether it's movies, TV, or whatever, for being them.
Yeah.
It's not about a character. It's not about a specific movie. It's not about a specific plot. They're getting paid because they're them.
Yeah. You could make Death Stranding with whatever random dude. You could make Death Stranding with Norman Reedus mocap that doesn't look like Norman Reedus. Like all mocap that we see in video games, not all, but most of it doesn't look like, or does it strongly resemble the actor or actress that's doing that motion capture. They very much made a creative decision in both of these cases to make it Norman Reedus and Keanu Reeves, starring Keanu Reeves in Cyberpunk 2077. It's not just his voice, it's his face. And that's where we're going with games. We're going to see more and more of that. So anyway, that's Death Stranding. That happened before E3. So now let's get into the E3 side of things and what we saw via Sony or coming to PlayStation without Sony actually being there. So let me preface this by asking a little bit of a rhetorical question, but I'll get your feedback here. What are the biggest games that we saw at E3 this year? Well, what's number one?
Cyberpunk.
Right, coming to PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
You know, like, of course, they showed off in the Microsoft conference. Keanu comes out in the Microsoft conference. Awesome moment for Microsoft. But that's a game that's almost certainly going to sell more units on Sony's platform, because there's just a larger install base of PlayStation 4s. Like, just straight up. Right. Like, it's just going to sell more there because there's twice as many people that have one.
And I brought up something earlier. If you go to the PlayStation store right now, and I know because I looked, because I was looking for a specific title. As soon as we're done with this, I'm going to go back. But they have, if you go to the PlayStation store right now, you can pre-order Cyberpunk. I mean, it's there. Like, you can click the thing and order it. It's there. You can pre-order Cyberpunk. You can pre-order Borderlands 3, which was basically announced this season. Like, that's still, what, 6 months out?
Yeah,
8 months out?
Something like that.
It's a while out. Sony already has every big title that you can think of up on their store. Like, you can buy it here because they know the install base that they've got.
Yeah, and I know people are looking right now. Cyberpunk's on Steam. I'm sure Cyberpunk is on the Xbox store right now as well. But it's also very intentionally prominent on the PlayStation store because they know that people are engaged right now. And they're capitalizing on that, even though they're not at E3. Final Fantasy VII's also
yes.
a massive game from E3 this year. And it, as far as I know, still a PlayStation exclusive, right? Like, that hasn't been announced for Xbox.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I'll look it up. But I'm pretty sure that's still a Sony exclusive. That's what Square Enix led the first half hour of their show with, you know, was a Sony title.
We still got to talk about that. That's just that right there is a 20-minute show, just that title.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that I think that's a big deal for Sony, especially if it is exclusive. Because like it or hate it, and I've talked about already this week what I think, it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, right now, still being published by Square Enix for the PlayStation 4. No other platforms announced at this point for the Final Fantasy VII remake. And so one of the top five titles, and I'm being generous of saying top five, probably top two or three titles that people are walking away from E3 talking about this year is a PlayStation 4 exclusive.
And it's a remake.
And it's a remake. Yeah. A remake that I'll mention of a game that came out 22 years ago.
Holy crap, world!
There are people listening to this show right now that weren't born when Final Fantasy VII came out. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I never really thought of that. But when I was playing that game back in the day, that was right after we moved to town. Like, that was right after getting here and plugging in the PlayStation. I remember that being one of the first games I ever saw. That was definitely, that was the only game that I know of that I read through every stitch of text.
Yeah.
Like, I read everything. And to know that it's been 22 years, that's crazy.
Yeah, we are old, my friend. But yet, like, it's one of the most anticipated games. And I think, in part, that we keep complaining. We're going to talk about it more on some Patreon content. By the way, Patreon guys, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. Thank you guys for your support. Tons of content on your way or already popping up on Patreon, so make sure you're checking that out.
And if you would like to add your name to that list, right now is the best time to go over there.
Absolutely.
Because Tommy and I are sitting in the same room. Lots of good stuff happens when we sit in the same room. Let me just mention that because we need to sit in the same room more often, and the only way that's going to happen is if we're getting money from you guys. So if you want to be involved over there, if you want more content, the best way to do it is to go over there, click that button, and get involved, because we love doing that stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. On that, we will, again, we're going to talk Final Fantasy VII on some Patreon content. One of the things that we will talk about in that context is the changes that they're making. But they're making those changes in part because they know that a chunk of the fan base that's going to play Final Fantasy VII Remake wasn't alive when the game came out.
Right.
Which, again, is mind-boggling that we're that freaking old. But I understand it. But all that to say, that's a Sony exclusive title that was a huge, huge thing at E3 that people are talking about, will be talking about. Sony didn't have to show up for that to happen.
Think about this. When was the last major Sony exclusive title that you can think of that we talked about like this? I can't think of one.
Well, especially that's a third-party publisher.
Yeah.
Like, I could tell you ones that Sony publishes, but to have a third-party publisher putting out an exclusive title like this, like, that's just rare, period. Like, you don't see exclusive game, like, EA didn't announce any exclusive games for any of the consoles. Ubi didn't announce, I'm trying to think. There's always an exception possible for the Switch in there that they may have a Switch-only game. But, like, for the most part, especially between Sony and Microsoft, there just aren't third-party exclusives anymore because there's no sense in it for the most part. And why? I think there's probably a good chance that we're going to see Final Fantasy VII make its way to Microsoft.
Well, yeah, it's going to get to PC.
But
it's going to get everywhere else. But
if
for
it's
a while,
starting on PlayStation, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And a huge title.
And I mean, we haven't seen exclusives like that since the PlayStation 2. Like, the one that keeps popping in my brain right this second is Twisted Metal Black. You still can't play Twisted Metal Black anywhere else but the PlayStation 2. With exclusives like that just don't happen anymore.
Yeah. Especially, again, from third-party publishers, for sure. So, also, I'll mention that during E3, Sony is doing their Days of Play special, and so you alluded to this earlier. Log on to PlayStation Network, at least until tomorrow. There's a ton of games that are on discount that they're doing a big sale right now to correspond with E3. Again, that's not a mistake. I mean, they're doing that to align with people being excited about games. But they could do all that without physically being at E3 and having to talk about that. And so, to kind of put a bow on this whole thing, did Sony need to be at E3, or have they lost anything significant by not being at E3?
No!
Yeah.
Because, and here's the key, the reason why this was able to happen, and this is what I don't want to happen, is people like Microsoft going, well, Sony wasn't there, Nintendo wasn't there, we don't really need E3. We'll just fold it up and we'll all do our separate things. The reason Sony and Nintendo are able to do what they're doing right now is because they are respectively destroying what they're doing. Nintendo is killing it. Sony is killing it because they both have exclusives. They both have games everybody wants to play. Microsoft doesn't have that. Ubisoft doesn't have that. Bethesda doesn't have that. All the people that were there, they need to be there. The two people that aren't there, namely Sony and Nintendo, are doing it because they are way out in front with what they're doing.
I would disagree a little bit with that on a few points. It depends on who you are. So for us, I agree that Sony's got what we want. But if you don't want single-player experiences, there's not a good reason to go Sony over Microsoft, right? I mean, they've got the other stuff too. But like, if you want Gears Halo World, then there's a good argument to be made for Microsoft there above Sony. We have a different perspective on what we want to play. I also would make a point here that I think Microsoft has hit their stride with the Xbox One. Like, I think they're in a good place with that console now. It just took them a long time to get there, right? Like, I think it feels like if you're an Xbox One owner, I think you're like, yeah, it's a good owner, a good investment at this point. It's still not something that's going to entice me into it, but they could get me on the next gen. Like, I'm looking forward to whatever they're doing. We're also PC gamers, and that's a weird thing for Microsoft, right? Like, the fact that so much of the stuff that's going to be on the Xbox One or the Xbox Scarlet, whatever, is stuff we can get on PC. Most console gamers aren't.
I have the original gear sitting on my PC, which is running right now. I downloaded it from the, what are they calling it, PC Game Pass or whatever.
Right.
And I was telling you, man, it on mouse and keyboard, it is really good.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to play Gears 4 and Gears 5.
And even though that's not necessarily great for Xbox as a console, that's great for Xbox as a brand. Because you got that via Xbox Game Pass for PC. Yeah. But Xbox Game Pass is what you're paying for there. Like, Xbox is still there. You know, like, that's where Microsoft is getting into it. They're getting ahead of this games as service thing. More so than Sony or Nintendo, either one, are. Like, they're in a... I really feel like Microsoft's in a good place. They're behind on console sales right now, but like you said, that resets in a year. Let's see what happens, you know? Yeah. Like, who the crap knows where we're at a year and a half from now when we assume both these consoles are out. So, all that said, I would anticipate we're going to see a big event from Sony coming up in the next 3 or 4 months that's going to be software heavy, and that's going to be talking about that new console.
Okay, so to wrap this up, since we're talking about the fact that all of this resets in a year, and I've been thinking about this for a couple of days because I knew you were going to be sitting here, and we may pose the question again on the next show, but which console do we have to have in a year when they both come out? This may be, I feel like this may be the first one in a while where it's like, okay, yeah, we have to have both because we have to see what they do.
Yeah.
I haven't felt that way about the Xbox since the 360. With the PS5 and the Scarlet coming out, I feel like in a year, you and I are going to be looking up, going, okay, we got to come up with $1,000 somewhere because we got to have both these consoles.
Yeah.
I haven't felt that way in a long time.
I agree. And I could also see it going the other way, too, of us saying, we don't need either one of these consoles right now. Because we've talked about this with Sony, and we're seeing the same thing kind of happening with Microsoft of this kind of transitional console generation, as opposed, because of where gaming is right now and accessibility to gaming, all that kind of stuff, as opposed to a hard line in the sand of the difference between the PlayStation 2 and the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 3 and the PlayStation 4, or the Xbox and the 360 and 360 and Xbox One. Like, it feels like this is going to be a much more gradual upgrade. We talked about, Sony's already talked about the games that are coming for both the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5, and they have intentions of releasing these big name titles on both platforms. Microsoft announced during E3 that Halo Infinite will be coming to the Xbox One. Of course it's going to look better. Of course it's going to perform better. Of course it's going to be all those things on the Project Scarlet. But is it going to be enough, all those things, that it justifies $400 for a new console? Or if you've got Xbox One sitting around, or likewise with The Last of Us 2 or whatever, that, man, I'm just going to go ahead and pick it up and go because I have this PlayStation 4 sitting here. I have a big question about that, like how necessary that upgrade is going to be. And if it is transitional, we have a PlayStation, we don't have an Xbox. It may be the Xbox that wins out there just because we need a new console, and Xbox is the one we don't have access to yet.
See, I don't know, because you know that Halo Infinite especially is going to end up on Xbox Game Pass. I would be shocked if it didn't. So if I can get it on my PC...
Yeah, but there's a difference there if it ends up on Game Pass or if it ends up on Game Pass for PC. I would doubt that it lands on PC on day one.
Why not? They're doing the Master Chief Collection, and, I mean, they've already got Halo Wars. They've got... I mean,
oh, yeah, I'm not arguing that Halo coming to PC is unreasonable. I'm saying they've got a console seller sitting there that they're not going to want to give to PC gamers at launch. That's how they sell Project Scarlet.
Right.
That's their franchise. You know, like, what else does Microsoft have in-house that's selling a console? I would be shocked if... I mean, it could happen, but I would be shocked if they didn't leverage that to try to sell the crap out of Scarlet's for a year.
Yeah, but that's the thing. The question is how long.
Sure.
Because if it's a year... And this is just you and me. This is very much a Jamie and Tommy thing, because it doesn't apply to 98% of the rest of the world. But if I know I'm paying for Game Pass, going to continue to pay for Game Pass because I downloaded the original Gears of War, the Ultimate Edition, or whatever, it's great. So I know that Gears 4 and Gears 5 are specifically built for the PC, because they said that at E3, that we've got PC controls, we're doing all this. If I know that in 1 year I'm going to get Halo Infinite, because you're right, that's the other system seller that Microsoft's got. And oh yeah, did I mention that Forza is available on PC Game Pass? I saw that while I was looking. If I know that Infinite is going to be available in a year, I'm not buying an Xbox. I'll buy a 2080 before I buy an Xbox.
Sure. But they're not going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you that Infinite's going to be available in a year. They're just going to push it out there as go buy a console. But you're not going to, because you figure it's going to be on PC soon. You know, like, yeah. Again, you're not the target for them there. But you're absolutely right. There's a whole bunch of people that don't have a PC that aren't going to go buy a 2080 to slam in their PC in order to make it work or whatever. And so that's a difference with Sony for sure. So they don't have that PC outlet for those first party titles like Microsoft does. But Microsoft wins because you're paying for Game Pass. And so they don't care that you don't go buy an Xbox console because you're giving them money anyway. So whatever. Sony didn't show up to E3. They still had a big E3.
They had a huge
E3. Didn't win it. But they had a good showing for not showing up at all. Kudos on Sony.
I gotta wonder, okay, you mentioned as we were getting ready to do this show that Troy Baker is in literally everything.
Yeah, he's in Death Stranding. I didn't realize that until we were watching through the trailer again and I noticed his name pop up.
So this brings up a very interesting question of people getting paid for being themselves. What do you think Keanu's getting paid for Cyberpunk? And what do you think Norman Reedus is getting paid for Death Stranding? Because before The Walking Dead, which I have to be honest and tell you, I have not seen a single episode of Season 8.
Me neither.
And before The Walking Dead, Norman Reedus was nobody, and now he's everywhere. So these huge actors that are in these games, what do you pay them to get the payoff in console sales? Because you talk about a system seller, Cyberpunk is a system seller. Cyberpunk is that game that if we weren't going to play it on the PC, which we are, at least I am.
Yeah.
That's going to make me go get a 2080 or something equivalent. And less stuff gives me one. Please stop. please. But my point is, what do you pay these people to make it worth it to sell these games?
Yeah, I haven't a clue.
Because they do.
It's a really good question. It is in the context of somebody like Troy Baker. Troy Baker isn't being paid for his likeness.
Right.
But he's a great voice actor and is in more video games than you realize, I promise. But, like, he's not being paid for his likeness. You don't pay Keanu Reeves to do voiceovers and make the dude look like somebody else. Like, you're making him look like Keanu Reeves. Johnny Silverhand or Silverarm, whatever it is, and Cyberpunk is Keanu Reeves. Like, it is, like, obviously, just like a movie, the actor, you're paying for that face, for that person. You're paying whatever Keanu's making is a lot more than whoever's voicing V in that game.
Yeah.
Or anybody else. Probably everybody else combined in that game, right?
Right.
Like, they know that's a big deal. And Keanu's been great about talking about video games in the context of, you know, media and art and that kind of stuff. And there was something I tweeted about. It was a terrible headline that said, like, something about, like, Keanu doesn't think that video games need legitimizing. Well, sure, they don't need to be legitimized. They are legitimate. But that's not even really what Keanu Reeves said. Like, his thing was, like, video games have affected the film industry a ton. Things like motion capture, things like CGI, visuals of aging and that kind of stuff. Like, video games are also pushing the envelope here. They're as much a part of this whole ecosystem of media as film is. And so the fact that we're going to see more of these big actors, big name people showing up in video games shouldn't be surprising, because there is this just kind of ripe place for you to identify an actor as a character in a movie the same way, or in a video game the same way you do as in a movie.
I it's just a very interesting place to be. And I think I bring it up on this show because we're talking about Sony, and Sony more than anybody else has a hand in all of these worlds. Sony does movies. Sony does TV. Sony has branches in everything. And you're right, this is going to happen more. And I would not be surprised if they led the charge.
Yeah, I wouldn't either, just because they have that. Sony is an entertainment company more than anything. I mean, they have other things, obviously, but I'm trying to think. But, like, they make TVs, but that's the entertainment industry, yeah, too. It's not making content, but it's making where you see the content or whatever. Like, Microsoft obviously has a big, big, big arm of their business that's not about entertainment. Sony doesn't really. Sony does music. Sony does movies. Sony does video games. Sony does hardware.
I know. You could probably buy a Sony appliance, but other than that, it's entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's a good point. Sony had a good E3. I think it's the moral of the story here, even without showing up. So good on them.
It's an amazing, amazing, amazing thing. And I really had a good time. I think we're going to talk about them more. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. And we haven't even mentioned it. You've been in my house like 3 hours. And the reason we're doing a show right now is because we're waiting for Spider-Man to download off of a disc onto my PlayStation 4. How freaking stupid is that?
Yes.
If I'm going to complain to Sony about something, what in the world are you doing?
That's where we need that solid-state drive.
Holy cow. Which, by the way, I have one.
Yeah.
In the like, we can just slide it right in right now. That's a thought, but
there you go,
man. Sony definitely needs it.
Yeah, we've got a couple more shows you're gonna hear from us, just wrapping up E3. We've got one, just kind of wrap up overview show, talk about some of the newsy stuff we haven't talked about.
Yes.
There has been news around E3, and so we'll cover some of those things. And then we will end this whole festive couple of weeks now with a round table. So,
do we have to
end it or do the round table?
End it. Yeah. I don't know. Like, we have to do the round table.
We have to do the round table. That's a blast. But yeah, it does have to come to an end. We already have dates for next year. 2020 is happening.
Nice.
What are the odds that Sony shows up in 2020?
They all, I'd say about 95% because they've got The Last of Us 2. They've got
new hardware.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing.
They're going to be there. It's going to be huge.
I hope you're right. I don't put it that high. I put it above 50. I would say 70.
They're going to have the auditorium. They're going to have the big crowd. They're going to have... It's new hardware. They're going to be there.
They can get an auditorium anytime they freaking want to. I mean, they're going to have one before E3, right? Like, we don't think that they're going to sit on all of this stuff until E3 next year. They're going to do some big event between now and E3.
You're right.
Let's see how that goes.
Because they've already done it. They did it this year.
If they do that big and it blows up and, like, they get a lot of hype out of that, that will reduce the odds. I agree. I think more likely than not they'll be at E3. But, again, they're having a good week, and they didn't have to do anything to have a. I mean, they did have to do stuff, but they didn't have to show up to have a good week, and so
they may find value in staff, and they didn't have to do the AV, and they didn't have to.
I saw a thing, and I'll mention it here. We'll probably talk about it some more in the wrap show. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was somebody from IGN that said that E3, as far as a news-making event, felt as big as it ever did this year, but E3 as the show floor. Felt like a mall in a town that all the retailers are starting to go out of business and that it's like half full, but there's like empty spaces around and there's just people kind of milling around that don't know exactly why they're there. And like that just the physical presence of what E3 used to be of this big convention that physically brought people in, that's the side of it that's really going away.
It's not like Gamescom. Like Gamescom is huge, or PAX, or... any of those.
But those are all smaller events relative to E3.
I know, but what I'm saying is you wait in line for hours. And like E3 used to be that. It's not that anymore.
Yeah. Well, you still wait in line for hours just because there's fewer things to do. Because Sony's not there. There's a giant booth that's just not there. And so the people that are showing up just have less stuff to do. And so there's probably more waiting time to do less things. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just... I don't know. It'll be interesting to see the viability of E3 going forward. I think 2020 may be a big year just because of the hardware stuff. Like, it's just prime for a big year. But I could see, like, 2020 being the, like, tip top of right before it falls off the edge of the cliff, right? Like, it could be the swan song for E3 next year.
We talk about it so much. You know what part of it is? It hinges very much on where bandwidth is, where the internet is, where Stadia is, where all of these different content delivery systems are.
Yeah.
If by 2021 we have the ability for Sony or anybody else to get us whatever they want, whenever they want, because the problem we have now is that, yeah, you can put something on YouTube and it gets to 8 billion people. But if you're talking about Stadia or you're talking about your new streaming service and you want to demo it, part of the reason we're waiting on Spider-Man right now is because I'm sitting on a 20 meg connection. And that's what it is. You have fiber at your house. So the question is going to be, if internet is, the better internet gets, the easier this stuff's going to be to deliver for cheaper.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going to drive it.
Save that thought. Let's continue that in the wrap show, because I think that's a good point with E3 going forward. And so we'll come back to that idea because I think it's big. So for right now, that was, again, Sony. We did 50 minutes on a publisher, good console maker that didn't show up.
That's nutty.
Good on them. So. Yeah, they got some attention still this week.
And I'm sorry, I keep staring at your phone because you have your daughter on your phone.
I do.
And I just...
And because I'm a fidgety person, I'm just playing with my phone.
Yeah.
And every time I move it, my background pops up and there's my wonderfully beautiful daughter.
And it's
just...
like, she's like mesmerizing. It's like, oh!
Yeah.
I can't stop looking at her.
Yep.
It's amazing.
I understand.
We're so happy to be here. We're so happy to be in the same room. We hope you guys are enjoying it. We are watching the Facebook page right now Like, if you want to get Tommy and I's attention, you can blow us up on whatever medium you want to blow us up on, because we're sitting in the same room and paying attention. If you want to talk to us, right now is the time. We have the email. You know where that's at, gamingunsistered@gmail.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
What else? More content to come. Other than that, I think that's it. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2019. Yes, it's still going. It's E4, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com. And we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.